Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Amp Radio.
Commercial free Monday.
Happy Tuesday, 6:06 in the morning. My name is Edgar. This is Brian. Good morning, bro.
What's happening, everybody?
Good morning, Chelsea.
Hello.
Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning.
Good morning, producer Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning, DJ Majestic.
What up, y'all?
Hit us up on social media at 97.1 Amp Radio. You can also call or text us any moment at 877-971-HITS. Thank you guys for covering me yesterday. For those of you that don't know, I missed a show yesterday. I had to bust a U-turn as I exited La Brea and the 10 freeway after driving from Chino Hills because my wife was in having contractions for the last 2 hours. And baby number two, we thought, was ready to come out. And I totally believe my wife because, first of all, you never question a woman that's pregnant. Say, are you sure you're going into labor?
We covered that yesterday because I'm learning everything for the first time. I've never been around someone every day who's about to have a baby. And so yeah. I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I didn't know babies could have like jab, step, pump, fake labors. Or like ghosts can do like contractions in the middle of the night. Like I had no idea this stuff is happening. And my girlfriend's always talking about wanting to have kids. And I'm like, her pain threshold is zero, dog. Like, yeah. I don't know about that.
Yo, that is key right there. Because Janet, she can handle all kinds of pain because her first daughter, she had with no epidural.
Oh my gosh.
Had the baby naturally and with Pitocin. What Pitocin does, it actually creates harder contractions. Mm-hmm. And she took it with no pain medication.
A soldier.
When she did that, I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to question your pain. So yesterday when she said, babe, it's been 2.5 hours of contractions. They're pretty consistent. I think you should turn around. I turned around and it was a good drill, but three major dad fails, guys. Literally, as I was going to bust a U-turn, I realized I had 5 miles left of gasoline in my car. 5 miles, yo. We've been through this. I don't know why. Like, you know, so I had to get gas real quick. And obviously, I did not reveal that to Jenna. I'm like, I'm busting a U-turn. I'm on my way. And then the next thing, Jenna was about to choke me. Apparently, I took the bumpiest road.
That's not your fault.
Ever.
What?
Like, the potholes and the fact that Caltrans doesn't, you know, fix our roads, that's my fault.
Wow.
No.
She's like,
really? She's like, really? You're gonna take the bumpiest road? And her face, she's never looked at me like this ever in my life. She wanted to choke me up.
So you gotta find, like, a labor route now?
Exactly.
You gotta find a route, like, freshly paved from Chino Hills to what, Ontario?
Where are the flying cars we thought we were gonna have by now? And then, last but not least, when we pulled up to the area where you basically go in to check in, I just took off. I grabbed her, and apparently I left the car on, just chilling in the parking lot.
Whoopsies.
She's like, babe, relax. You left the car on. This is why she's feeling contractions, you know? So anyways, it was a good drill. Now I know to have a full tank of gas at any moment. Do not take any bumpy roads. I'm going to have producer Brad fly us to the hospital since he is a pilot.
Sounds like a legitimate idea.
And we'll hopefully not leave my car on. But she just texted me. She's been having contractions all night. But her parents drove down from Santa Cruz, California, and they're with her right now.
Oh, that's
good. That's nice.
So she said it. I didn't. She's like, babe, don't leave work unless I'm admitted into the hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, you said it, mm-hmm. not me. So we'll see how that goes, especially because we have an important meeting coming up here pretty soon, and Chelsea really wants to go to that meeting.
Oh, my God, dude. Can we all go to the hospital if Janet? Yeah, right? We all have to be there for moral support. We can't make the big meeting on Thursday.
The whole team wants to pull the baby card. Say, hey, we got to be there for Edgar. Come on, support. But anyways, thank you guys for all the love you sent on social media. I really appreciate it. My wife and I really appreciate that, all right?
97.1 Amp Radio.
Commercial-free Monday.
Interesting stories coming at you right now. So I think if you ever think about getting into a high-speed chase, you're probably going to want to not take the 5 North and go into the valley or anywhere near Pacoima or North Hills after what happened yesterday. So this dude stole a car and was really dumb when he was driving, just crashing into random cars and going through Pacoima, North Hills. And eventually, he wasn't being stopped, so he was into it over an hour. So all of a sudden, a civilian who's in a big old black truck goes, yo, I think cops aren't doing their job. He's like, let me follow him. I'll run him down with my truck. So he starts following the dude that stole the car, ended up somehow getting him to stop in North Hills. But that's not all. When the dude finally stops and stole the car, right before he gets out of the car, civilians from around the neighborhood come out and do a human wall around his car, being like,
great.
You ain't leaving, bro. This is it for you. Which, on one hand, it's funny, but also not very smart.
Yeah.
You don't know if
he
homeboy in the car. You know what I'm saying? But it gets even better, guys. So police arrest the dude that stole the car, right? And, you know, the crowds are like, yeah, man, we did it. And the dude in the black truck, right? The civilian in the black truck all of a sudden goes like, well, thank you, guys. I did my job here. And he takes off. Now the police starts chasing him.
Because he's not supposed to chase someone in a high-speed chase?
Exactly. it's like Inception, but for high-speed chases. It was a high-speed chase within a high-speed chase. They pull homeboy over. He gets out peacefully, and he gets taken to jail.
Oh, come on.
But he was released.
He helped them.
Exactly, right?
You can't have that happening, though. You can't start letting people just go rogue street justice and start chasing cars. Because here's the problem. If that dude runs someone over in a crosswalk, that guy's going down for, vehicular homicide. When really, we have helicopters, so it's really dumb. You're never going to get away.
Not in SoCal, right? But he got released, and he's good to go. But just interesting, you're probably never going to get into a high-speed chase in the Valley because people will come after you. Interesting story right here. And you got to decide whether this person cheated or not on this marathon. Brian, break it down.
She definitely cheated.
She
cheated or is on purpose or is just dumb. But former quarterback Johnny Manziel, you probably are familiar with some of his stories. He was in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns, got booted for substance abuse, then went to Canada. Also banned from Canada now, so you can't play quarterback there.
Banned from the country?
They won't let him play football in Canada. He may be able to go there, but I'd say that they probably have problems with it at the border too. His wife, Bree Manziel, is an Instagram model and did the Run Like a Diva marathon this past Saturday. In Temecula, California. And here's the problem. She finished her half marathon in a time of 1:58:22, which is a great time. It's a very solid time. Okay. That'll put you at a sub-4-hour marathon. Solid time. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh.
After she finished 6.5 miles, her time was 1:31, which would mean she finished the next 7 miles in 21 minutes, putting her at a blazing world record time of under 4 minutes a mile for the second half of her half marathon, which is impossible. So, which means at mile 6.5, she decided, I'm done running. I want to go to the finish line now and get my medal. Or somehow she got lost in the course and just ended up at mile 13.
Yeah, because somehow, according to her time, she got way faster the second part of the marathon.
The second half of the marathon, she set world records. That's the problem here.
And she says, I did not cheat. I did not cut. There was no shortcuts. This is me actually running.
Oh, yes. So she's sticking to her story.
100%.
What?
She's saying she finished the marathon. Everyone's saying, yo, we have the technology. You couldn't run 7 miles in 21 minutes. That's insane. You were running 3 minutes and 20 seconds a mile, and no one saw someone with their feet on fire coming across the finish line.
I love that she's an Instagram model, too. I wonder what that, you know, she got the finish line picture.
Oh, she got that?
She looks glowy and not no sweat at all.
Somebody on Instagram stories after the fact, she went back and said, oops, I found mile 11, which she didn't ever run by. I think what's funny is it's called Run Like a Diva. She should have been that's how divas do half marathons. We decide when it's over.
The Chelsea Report.
Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's Shallow has hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Wow. In the shadow.
Still going strong, that song.
Is it even a good song?
Yes!
Or is it just because it's Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga? I mean, listen, they do an amazing job, and I'm still annoyed Bradley Cooper is as funny and good looking and can sing like he does. You know what I mean? I guarantee that guy just comes out riding a unicycle one day on a show.
Yeah, well, you know, the song dethrones Ariana Grande's Seven Rings, which was number one for 5 weeks. The impressive thing with the song is that it went from number 21 on the chart to one, and obviously it follows their performance at the Oscars, which went viral because they looked very in love.
That's why.
So in some Jonas Brothers news.
I'm a sucker for you.
Now that's a good song. That's a good song.
Last night on James Corden, they talked about the real reason why they wanted to get back together.
Basically, about a year and a half ago, we started filming a documentary. It was going to be a story about where we are today, and that was separate lives, doing separate things, Joe with DNCE, and me with my solo stuff. And during that time, you know, we started to realize there was a magic that we felt like we were missing. And you know, so the process was basically just, why don't we give this a shot? We started playing a little music together and realized right away, this is where we're meant to be in our lives at this moment.
That's awesome. What about Frankie, though?
I know. How many times have to cut him out of the documentary?
Damn.
Oh, maybe he'll make an appearance.
Max, the youngest brother, Frankie.
Madge sent me a post about it yesterday, and it said, feel bad for Frankie Jonas. He's been cut out of the Jonas Brothers twice. So bad. Come on, man.
Two times.
In the interview, though, they announced, not just will a documentary be coming out, but it'll also a tour, because the documentary will basically be a behind-the-scenes look at them preparing for their tour. So lots of Joe Bros stuff coming up here.
You just got to note, actually, Frankie's the camera guy on the documentary. So he didn't completely get cut out.
Poor
so,
guy.
Congrats.
You just care. You didn't see him on the documentary wheeling bags in and out of hotels.
The guys will also be in Team Corden all week. And their carpool karaoke is going to air in the next couple days. So keep an eye out for that.
Awesome.
I'm just keeping us on track with Jonas Brothers. You guys are all about Frankie. But you know what?
Hey, for real, like on the real, producer Brad, I have one mission for you, bro.
Okay.
Can you get Frankie on our show somehow?
We need Frankie.
Let's get an interview.
I don't want to interview the Jonas Brothers. I want to interview Frankie. Damn, I cut him out of the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah,
he is the Jonas Brothers. We need to get Frankie.
He's the only one that matters to us.
Or we say, like, we will only do an interview with the Jonas Brothers if Frankie is here,
yeah,
too.
Exactly. We're standing up for Frankie, baby.
So this is super sad. Actor Luke Perry, star of Beverly Hills 90210 and Riverdale, sadly passed away yesterday after suffering a recent stroke. The crazy thing, he was just 52 years old. He was surrounded by his fiance, two kids, and family, but I mean, he had such a prolific acting career. He became a household name on 90210, played heartthrob Dylan McKay, you know, 90210 was one of the biggest shows of the 90s, and then most recently he was in the starring role of Archie's dad on the CW's Riverdale, which is obviously one of the bigger shows right now as well. So I thought this was pretty touching. Shannen Doherty, who played Brenda Walsh on the show, who was Dylan's love interest, Luke's love interest, just basically said, like, I can't talk about it. It makes me so sad. But, you know, I just want to say it's Luke. He's my Dylan, which is just, you know, for those who are big fans of 90210, they were like the couple that off and on that everyone wanted to be together. So
and at 52. This is like too young. Way too young, man.
My mom called me yesterday and she was trying to give me the news. She does this every once in a while. She tried to give me like the Hollywood news. And she goes, oh, Brian, that actor that you liked when you were a kid that was on that. Ooh, what was that show? It was Dirty Saved by the Bell.
that's what she described.
That's how she described 90210. And I was like, if you were a parent back then, that was so true, because Saved by the Bell was like, oh, you know, jumping jacks and lollipops. And 90210 was like, let's get on my motorcycle.
Yeah, I remember when the show would come on, because I was a little bit definitely young for it, but I remember when it would come on, I'd get really excited.
Yeah.
But it kind of made me, because I knew it was sort of like, you know, risque. But now it kind of, it kind of makes me want to like go back and watch it and just, you know.
I think that, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 and then also Melrose Place was kind of like the two like breaking, you know, barriers in the sense of what they were speaking about and what they were showing in the show. But it's amazing how many lives he impacted, either through him as a person or also as an actor, because he was involved with Riverdale, which captures a whole young audience that loves that show. I recently got on Riverdale because of
it's
Netflix.
Good.
It's super good. So rest in peace, man. And thoughts and prayers go out to all his loved ones that are going through a tough time right now.
That's all I have for the Chelsea Report. To catch highlights, head to ampradio.com and also download the radio.com app so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere.
Thank you, Chelsea. 97.1 Amp Radio, home of commercial-free Mondays. Good morning, 7:08 right now. We're Edgar, Brian, and Chelsea. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for all the love you've been sending on social media. Yesterday around this time, I was on my way to the hospital with my beautiful wife, baby number two on its way. And at the end of the show, I called back in to let everybody know that it's official. My daughter is a prankster. It was a false alarm, so still not out yet, and Brian laughed at me evilly again.
Well, it just, I feel like it's telling. Babies have an attitude right, you know, from day one, and I feel like my theory is that baby number two has been hearing all the attention you guys give to your first baby, Ariella, who's now two, and adorable.
Thank you.
Like, my girlfriend wants to steal her. She's just the cutest little thing ever, but she can hear that, and she's like, oh, hell no. You want to see? I'm about to steal somebody's thunder.
Yep.
I got all the attention in the world. So we'll keep you updated on that. Right about now, we got a hilarious Dammy Dumb story of the day. Also, we're live on Instagram for you. If you want to check this out, we are about to do the Vans Challenge. Basically, every time you throw a Vans shoe, it will land right side up. And producer Brad He's like, it is absolutely impossible that every time this will happen. So we got Van's shoes in here. It may or may not work because, yes, Brian, my shoes are very small.
Well, so, no, they're not small. They're just about as big as my hand. Which is...
But I get a deal, bro. I get youth size and I get a deal, bro.
I did have this moment where I was like, are these your shoes? I know, for real?
And you're like, I can put these on my mirror. Hang them from my car mirror. I was like,
oh. Check us out on Instagram Live at 97.1 Amp Radio. So we got Dammy Dumb Story of the Day and then the Vans Challenge. What's going down, Brian?
You're never going to believe this, guys. Oh. It's coming out of Florida.
Yep.
Dammy Dumb.
I think about a good 70% of our Dammy Dumb come out of Florida. I don't know. What is up with Florida?
What's in the water?
It's like a joke, but seriously, every dumb story we get is from Florida. All right, on December 19th, a man named Shane Millay, in Riviera Beach, Florida, he was staying with a friend of his named Michael Johnson who was helping him out. Shane, Mr. Millay, was, you know, he'd got his wallet stolen, he was broke. So Mr. Johnson was like, my man, you can stay in my office.
Oh, that's cool.
If you help me out with some projects around the office. So that happens, he stays there. Well, then Mr. Millay sees that Mr. Johnson has a collection of rare collectible coins worth
$33,000. $33,000.
Wow. $33,000. Wow. Which I have my own problems with what kind of person holds on to collectible coins. Like, really, nerd? All right. Anyways, that's my own side issue. So, Shane Millay says, these rare coins, I'm taking these coins. So he steals $33,000 worth of coins. He goes to a couple pawn shops, sells coins. Then he says to himself, this is stupid. I'm Shane Millay. I'm not going to go to every pawn shop to sell these things. So then Mr. Millay goes to a Coinstar.
Oh, the machine.
At a grocery store, puts roughly $33,000 worth of rare coins and gets $29.30 back.
Damn, he dumb.
Obviously, the machine doesn't understand that it's rare coins.
Yeah. Apparently, he didn't know that these rare coins were given to from a president, like presidential coins. So they're they're technically still only worth the value that they're said on the coin, but they're worth more to collectors. So Mr. Millay was then arrested for theft and drug charges up to $100,000. So he will be doing jail time in Coinstar. I think Coinstar made out the best on this.
Great publicity right there.
Profit margin was amazing.
Damn. Yeah, he does.
All right, now, if you haven't seen the Vans Challenge online, it's been trending for the last couple of days. But basically, every time you throw a Vans shoe, it allegedly will land right side up. Producer Brad, you have a huge issue with this, and we're about to toss some Vans shoes in the studio to find out if you're right or wrong.
I just don't believe when everyone says every time or absolutely this will happen, I just immediately go, wrong. That's not possible.
It's default. It's a really happy place you're in.
Yeah.
You're wrong is very alike to Trump's wrong, by the way. Here we go. Ready? So, Chelsea, you're going to go first. You're going to toss a Vans sneaker. Okay. I just gave you mine. Don't make fun of how small it is, please. Dang, Chelsea, they don't smell. Go ahead, take a whiff. All right, Chelsea's about to toss hers, and it will land right side up, allegedly. This is a low-top Vans shoe right here. Ready?
Okay.
Go for it. Try not to hit the wall, though. All right, here it goes. And
bam!
Hey, right side up. All right.
Okay. Doesn't prove anything.
Brian's about to toss.
I've got a high
Vans,
top.
High top van, so we're switching it up here.
Just about an inch shorter than my hand, if you can see that on Instagram Live. Here we go. The high top van.
There he goes. High top.
Right side up.
Producer Brad tossed his shoe. And landed. Right side up. You've
That's only
wrong.
Three times. It's not. I'm not wrong.
In denial.
Well, there you go.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Commercial-free Monday.
Your chance to win four lift passes to go to Big Bear Mountain Resort by playing Is Brian Smarter Than Your Car Full of Kids? It's a kids' trivia game. We're going to have 30 seconds to answer three questions. Brian will step outside of the studio, not hear those questions. Come back in and take a stab at them as well, all right? He's never won, by the way.
I'm perfect record, zeros.
He did tie once, though. That was a
good
one,
but
bro.
Tie goes to the contestant, so it's still a loss for me. I got to pummel somebody.
We have Edward from Pico Rivera on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, Edgar. Brian, Chelsea, what's up?
What's up, Edward? Pico Rivera, man. You just bring back flashbacks to going to the Pico Rivera Sports Arena, going to Harry Bell's out there, Banda El Recodo, Pepe Aguilar. Gosh,
man, I remember
Brian?
That.
Remember
oh,
times.
Oh,
you know it.
The Harry Bell's,
you know
bro?
It.
Oh, yeah, the Harry Perros tailgate and all that, dog. Like,
yeah, baby. Like rodeo in Spanish.
You got to come out and cruise Whittier Boulevard, Brian.
Hey.
I'm down for that.
All right, Edward, please, who do you have in the car with you that's going to win this morning?
I got my pair of aces, Ava and Aiden.
Hey, all right. How old are they, Papa?
Ava is 9 years old. Aiden is 4.
Wow, you really thought about that one, bro.
That's funny.
Ava, why?
Doing math on his fingers.
Ava, why do you think you're going to beat Brian this morning?
Because all me and Aiden do is watch cartoons, and all he does is go on his phone.
True. Man, when she went down that road, all he does is I'm like, woo, this could get bad quick. Yeah, on my phone. That's all I do, on my phone.
All right, here we go. Ava, what's Aiden doing right now? What's Aiden doing?
He's asleep.
What? That's not very good moral support.
Wake up, buddy!
He's asleep because he doesn't want to listen to Brian's bad answers.
Well,
you don't still have to keep roasting me. You already
do, actually. This is great.
Yo, you know what's wrong with Pico Rivera, bro. Cruising Whittier. All right. Brian is stepping outside of the studio right now.
So good.
Let's just keep asking her why she thinks they're going to win. All right. We're going to get 30 seconds on the clock. 3 questions coming your way. Ava and Aiden is asleep. Sounds great. In the TV show Paw Patrol, what kind of dog is Marshall?
Dalmatian.
Okay. Number 2. In the movie series How to Train Your Dragon, what's the main dragon's name?
You got this.
Fireball. Okay. Fireball.
Number 3. Have you ever cheated at school?
No.
All right. There it is. Time is up. Time is up. Come back in, Brian. If you dare.
Well, if I want to, man. It was pretty savage in here earlier.
All right. Let's get 30 seconds on the clock. 3 questions coming your way, Brian. In the TV show Paw Patrol, what kind of dog is Marshall?
I'm going to go Dalmatian.
Number 2. In the movie series How to Train Your Dragon, what's the main dragon's name?
Alfonso?
What?
I don't know. It's like a dragon name to me.
Number 3. We asked Ava, who's been roasting you all morning, has she ever cheated at school?
No. I guarantee you she's not cheated. She proudly just gets the answers right.
All right. Time's up. There we go. Let's find out. Here we go. Let's go through the questions in the TV show Paw Patrol. What kind of dog is Marshall? Brian, you said?
I believe it's a Dalmatian.
Ava said Dalmatian. You both are correct.
Wow. Whoa. 1-1.
Nah, I feel like this is where it goes wrong for me. But
in the movie series How to Train Your Dragon, what's the main dragon's name? Brian, you said?
Alfonso?
So proper.
Ava said Fireball.
Close.
You're both incorrect.
Whoa.
What was it?
It's actually Toothless.
Oh.
There you go. Number 3.
Our names were better, Ava.
We asked Ava, have you ever cheated at school? Brian, you said, she said?
Absolutely not.
She said no as well.
Uh-oh.
She's too smart to snitch on herself.
She's never cheated. It's a tie.
So.
But she out-roasted you, bro. We got to give it to Ava. Ava, congratulations. I don't know if you want to wake up your brother Aiden or not. I don't know if that's a good idea, but you got 4 lift passes to go to Big Bear Mountain Resort, all right?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Oh, you're the winner.
Congratulations, Edward. You have amazing kids, my man. Thank you for listening to us.
All right,
take care, bro. Hang tight. We're going to go cruising, and then we're going to go to the Jaripeo, right, Brian?
He's exhausted by all that sass.
Can I come too?
Charles, of course.
To the Jaripeo.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Commercial-free Monday.
Those of you are still wondering whether Travis Scott is guilty or not of messing around potentially with other girls while being with Kylie. He just deleted his Instagram.
Oh. Guilty.
Just FYI. Just blame it on Jordan Woods, right?
No, babe. No, it's just that I don't want the distractions. Yeah. And I don't want you looking at my DMs. So I don't want it.
I know you guys talked about Jordan Woods yesterday in her special. And I wasn't here because supposedly this baby was going to come. But she didn't. My wife's been pregnant. Still hasn't popped out the baby. We're almost there. But I did want to get a couple things out about that. Speaking about getting in trouble. I sat there and watched the Jordan Woods special with my wife. And I don't know if you guys have ever been in this situation when Jordan Woods was talking about how she put her legs over Tristan, but in a non-creepy kind of way. Janet's like, hey, babe, quick question for you. What would you do if you're in that situation and you're Tristan?
It's a trap!
And all of a sudden, the girls were putting their legs over you. And I was like, nah, babe, first of all, I would not be at that after party. Yeah. We all know that after the club, you immediately go get food. You don't go straight to an after party because you make dumb decisions. You go to King Taco, have some of that red salsa there, and then that will fire you up and sober you up real quick. So I wouldn't even be there. So thanks to Jordan Woods. Almost got me in trouble.
I feel like women who are watching that special with their significant other were watching their significant other watch the special to just see the reactions they made every time.
Any guilty reactions? Did
right.
they sweat?
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I was drinking a little bit. And then your significant other's like, looks at you like, is that an excuse? You're like, no.
Hell
no.
No.
Coming up next in the Chelsea Report, what you working with, Chelsea?
There was a dramatic twist on last night's The Bachelor. Colton finally jumped the fence. Mm. So why did he do it? And where did he go? Is the season over? Is this the most dramatic season in Bachelor history?
That was good,
That's
Chelsea.
The big question.
That was good. You're giving Chris a run for his money.
The Chelsea Report.
At age 21, Kylie Jenner is officially the world's youngest billionaire.
Damn.
Simply meh.
I read she beat out Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. That's
so impressive.
Uh-huh. Get it, girl. Get it.
This is all according to Forbes. Forbes also revealed that Jenner is the youngest self-made billionaire of all time.
Well, don't get people fired up on that one, because they'll be like, self-made, she was born a Kardashian, Jenner, whatever. It's still impressive. But the impressive part is that all the Kardashians are super, you know, they're all worth like $100 million, and she's the one who's worth the most, and she's not the one who's been in the most television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. Anyways, this is really the story I want to get to, because this is huge.
She's like, whatever, Kylie a billionaire, whatever. This.
Last night, The Bachelor, Colton.
Yeah.
Finally jumped the wall, you
hallelujah.
Guys.
Hallelujah.
I know.
Lord.
They've been teasing it since the premiere of the show. Really milking it. It's been okay, why is Colton going to jump the freaking wall? And now we know. Basically, what happened is that Cassie, who clearly is his first choice out of the three women who are left, basically tells him she loves him like a lot, but isn't in love with him, you know, and doesn't know if she can get there with him. So she basically says goodbye. Here's her kind of telling him, you know.
Were you planning on leaving tonight?
Mm-hmm. Not because I don't care about you so much. Because I don't know if I can get there. Like, I wonder if I would have been sure by now. I don't know.
Wait, hold on. So in like 3 weeks, she doesn't know if she's in love or not?
I mean, well, crazy, right?
She loves him like a lot.
Like a lot.
Oh,
but
like
not
a lot.
Like a lot, you know?
In 3 weeks, you should know.
But here's what's crazy, though, is he literally says in this episode, and he was supposed to go on another date, like another fantasy suite date with Hannah, but he tells her, in it, he says to Cassie, you're the only one I want to be with. He basically says, I don't want to be with these other girls. I want to be with you. So Hannah doesn't even get another date unless it's on the next episode. Like, poor girl. And now what are they going to do with the season? Because basically, Colt wants to be with this girl who left, so he jumps the wall because there's nothing else for him to do. And it's kind of funny. He's like, goes off in a rage. He's like ripping off his microphone. And
like
he's like,
quit the show, I quit.
Everyone's trying to stop him, and it happens.
He just jumped the fence. Is there a button that opens a gate?
Colton.
Open the fence, guys. Open the fence.
Colton!
Colton! Open the fence, guys. Open the fence. Like Secret Service is
Did you hear at the end, right after Chris said, Colton! Even a dog was barking. Like, rah, rah. Colton!
The funny thing is now, too, is that the episode said after that happened, to be continued.
I know!
So we don't even know where he went after he jumped the wall. They're still using the wall to milk the next episode, get people to watch the next episode.
He went after Cassie, the girl that kind of likes him a lot. No?
All right, guys.
Brian, I know this is a big deal for you, bro, because this is what you've been waiting for the entire season. And you wrote up a little something for Colton from The Bachelor.
Well, it's a little thank you letter for the fence, because I don't think that we're appreciating the fact they've sold an entire TV show on what happens on a fence.
That's true.
I feel like we owe The Bachelor fence a thank you. Dear The Bachelor fence, I feel like we know each other. I feel like I have a history with you because Colton has jumped you every single episode for the past 10 weeks. And we want to know what's on the other side. That's the only reason I'm still watching. What could it be? A more interesting Bachelor, perhaps? Paging Wildman Chad Johnson, please save this show.
Yes.
Chad.
At this point, if you're the one who ends up with the final rose, Wall, it would make sense because you've gotten more screen time than any of the girls on the show, and you have more personality.
The fence.
Oh, wow.
In fact, fence.
That's mean.
You're the only thing to touch Virgin Colton's junk other than himself this whole season.
Facts. Facts.
Lastly, The Bachelor fence, you are a hero because you have become the most important wall in America, which I'm sure Trump isn't happy about right now. Mm. But for that, we thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody.
Gracias.
There we go, everyone.
All right. On that note, that's all I have for the Chelsea Report. We'll see what happens next Monday. Anyways, it's a lot. Until next time, this is the Chelsea. What am I doing?
I don't know.
I'm all stressed out right now.
Chelsea, check this out, right? Take a deep breath. 1, 2, 3. We're Edgar, Brian, and Chelsea. Who did you dirty? Shoot us a car, text 877-971-HITS. Yvette from Culver City, good morning.
Good morning.
Yvette, thank you so much for calling and listening to us. Go ahead, vent, girl. Who did you dirty?
So my ex-boyfriend decided to break up with me through a text message.
Oh, what's wrong with that?
I'm kidding.
Hey, at least he just didn't ghost. You know, he communicated.
He tried to ghost.
Yeah, communicated and then blocked me so I couldn't communicate back. Like a coward.
Yeah, that is cowardly. You know what? I got to be honest. I think the breakup over text, I did it a lot when I was like texting first started because I thought to myself, man, how easy is this? Yeah. I used to use the analogy of, yo, when cars were invented, we didn't still ride horses, right? Why would I not use this new technology to break up? I got to go do it in person like a caveman?
You're right. You're the worst.
That makes a lot of sense, Brian.
No, but wait. Just a couple days before the breakup, he's like, oh, don't, you know, he's asking me to move in, giving me keys to his house.
What?
How are you going to break up through a text message?
Yvette, do you remember what that text said? How did he break it down?
Yes, it said, good morning, Yvette. Unfortunately, this feeling that we have is not the same on my part. So please move on.
Yo, did a human resource person write that? Like, that sounded so business. Like, I regret to inform you, Yvette, that we no longer have a relationship.
So please move on.
What was the message you sent before? Was it, like, saying something about your feelings and how you felt? Or was it more like, hey, can you pick up, like, hot dogs from the grocery store?
No, it was like, hey, good morning, baby. I love you.
And then he's like,
what?
I regret to inform you that we are no longer on baby terms.
Yeah.
I wish you the best in your future endeavors. Damn, Yvette, you strike something so interesting because Brian said he used text to break up. I would love to hear from you that are listening right now. What have been some of the most creative text messages you've gotten in the past where somebody broke up with you? Like, what did that text say? Please just call in and read it to us. Because, I mean, hopefully we can laugh about it now like Yvette is, you know? 877-971-HITS. That is the number to call or text. 877-971-HITS. How have you been broken up via text? What did it specifically say? Or maybe you're the one that did it. We want to know what you wrote.
Yeah, be creative. And please, like Edgar said, we want to laugh at it. Don't call in like this just happened and you're like burst into tears on the radio. We don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, you can still call in, but we're just not going to go on the air with you.
Yeah, that's right. Don't be a bummer for everybody. Play in.
We love you. That dude is a straight up texting
coward.
Sucio.
Coward for sure.
Cobarde.
Can I put his name out there?
Go ahead.
Just his first name. Go ahead.
Jesse, you're a coward.
There it is.
You feel better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Shout out to all the Jesses listening to us.
I would like to say a lot more, but.
Go ahead. We can bleep it.
Just go ahead, Yvette. Go ahead. Let it out.
Jesse, you're a coward.
There we go.
How did that one feel?
Better. A lot better.
What are texts saying, Brian?
We got one from the 310. I really appreciate this one. It says, well, I broke up with my ex via text. Told him it wasn't going to work out. Told him I was moving to California. Changed my number. Blocked him on social media. And now I'm here in LA. Devil emoji.
Wow.
So at least this person is owning it with the devil emoji. They know they did something wrong, but they did it wrong across the board.
Son of a here right there. But went all in. Committed.
Right. Go all the way dirty. This one from Melissa in Inglewood. My ex broke up with me via text and said, hey, I'm sorry, but my best friend expressed to me that she's in love with me and I wanted to see how this works out.
Oh, boy.
at least the text didn't add, do you mind holding for a little bit? I'll get back to you.
Right. They were playing Girl from Ipanema for you in an elevator.
Brian and Chelsea got some texts, too, that they've gotten broken up through. We'll get to those in a sec. We got Teresa from LA. Good morning to you, Teresa. So how did your breakup text go?
So I had been going out with my boyfriend for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I just sent him one of those normal like, hey, babe, what's up? Do you want to go out for dinner tonight or should we cook something at home?
Yeah.
And the response he gives me is, I think I'm into your sister. I can't do this anymore.
What?
What?
After a year and a half?
That's how he confessed that he's into your sister and didn't want to be with you?
Right. Him and my sister had hung out before, and then I guess he fell in love with her or whatever, and I was just like, you tell me over a text?
Wait, did he run this by your sister? Because it seems like kind of a weird confession if your sister's like, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, you know, I did, and she actually was like, I have no idea. They are not dating.
Yeah, that would get way too Jerry Springer for us today.
Oh, totally. My sister's on my side, and she was like, are you kidding me? Like, no.
That is wild. Definitely delete his number and everything you have of him. It's definitely not worth it. The guy's weird.
Unblock him from Facebook. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Teresa, for listening to us. Say what's up to your sister, and have a great day.
All right. Yeah, you guys too. Have a good one.
Later. Chelsea, you've dated some winners.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So I bet you're like, which one do I choose?
I know, exactly. I was going through my text messages, and I'm like, let's go all the way back to this one. This is a good one. This is probably like 8 years ago or something, maybe a little less, 7 years ago. And I was dating this guy. It was probably like 3 or 4 months, and we were like kind of semi-seriously. And my friends didn't really like him, but it was one of those things where, whatever. I was into him.
I ignored him again.
Right. I don't listen to anybody.
I remember we had gotten back from Christmas break. Like, I'd just gotten back from Michigan, and like he wasn't making a plan to hang out with me, and he like wasn't really returning my calls or my text messages. And I'm like, what is going on? This is so weird. He was like all about it right before break. And so I finally like text him something like, what's up? And he texts me back, hey, Merry Christmas, ! Sorry, I've been MIA. The reason I haven't been returning your calls is because I realized I'm still not over my ex. She's that one person in my life, you know? And she's moving to LA. Hope you can understand. I was like, what? And I wrote back, and you couldn't answer my phone call to fill me in. Quite the coward move.
Damn. Well, there's one way to say it. What was that, DJ Majestic?
No, I can't believe you said, you know.
Like, you get it, right? Get it. We've all been there.
Yeah. You get it? Brian, what about you? But is this a text you received or you
this
sent?
This one I got. I mean, I've sent 1,000 of these things.
Breakup text?
Not in the last few years. I've been with my girlfriend.
Draft text that you're ready to go.
Yeah, I got my moves.
Copy paste.
You know?
Now,
this one, I was seeing this girl, and it was going really well. This was when I was living in a sheet room. I was living in the living room of my...
sheet room.
It's depressing, man. I was living in the living room of my friend's apartment. We couldn't afford our own room, so I just tacked sheets into the ceiling.
Wait, I thought you said it was going really well.
It was between us.
Oh, okay.
And then she came over. This is why I was in my head so bad about this. Things were going great. She came to my house finally. And then that was great too. Everything was going awesome. So I hit her up like a day later because we were going to set up plans for the weekend. And I'm like, hey, Natalie, what's going on? I'm at, and I asked her like, hey, what do you want to do this weekend? And she goes, hey there, I'm actually busy this weekend. ... Actually, come to think of it, I'm busy the next few months. Sorry, I guess. I was like, what?
I guess it's the same as, you know.
You sheet room.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Commercial-free Monday.
Did you guys hear or feel the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds flying over? Brian, I know you chill in Hollywood.
Yeah, I live in West Hollywood. You know what? I didn't hear or see that.
Yeah.
There was just a hell of a lot of helicopter action yesterday.
Yeah.
There were helicopters everywhere yesterday.
Chelsea, you live in the area as well. Did you catch that?
No, I definitely didn't.
Yeah, so we were doing amazing flyovers for the Hollywood premiere of Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought in the Thunderbirds just flying over. They did like a practice run and then the real thing in the evening.
Is that a military expense? Like, I have a taxpayer problem with that. That's ridiculous. We're going to, for a movie premiere?
Producer Brad, who is a pilot himself and was in the military, thank you for your service, bro.
You're welcome. I believe it was a military expense, actually.
Go! Now, you know what, though?
I know Thunderbirds are marketing arm for the Air Force.
All right. I know we gave away a bunch of tickets to the premiere, so that'll be dope for you folks. But still, come on, man. That seems a bit ridiculous.
But what about a flyover for, like, a Dodger game?
No. Not if it's coming out of my wallet, dog. No thanks. Put that into education.
There you go. All right. That's a whole different topic.
The Chelsea Report.
So last night, HBO aired the second part of the documentary Leaving Neverland, which is the controversial documentary that tells the story of Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who claim Michael Jackson sexually abused them when they were young boys up until they were teenagers. In the second half, Wade and James basically talk about how their experience with Jackson left them in tatters for years, and also like how they struggled witnessing him move on to other young boys, which it was very much in the public eye. And they also address kind of the question a lot of people are asking, like, why are they now coming forward, and why when they testified years ago, why did they kind of, you know, stick up for Michael? Here's Wade kind of talking. They basically say, like, it comes down to the fact there was fear, but then also that they were so young and they didn't really understand it was sexual abuse. So here's Wade talking about it.
I had no understanding of it being abuse. You know, I loved Michael. While never forgetting any of the sexual details that happened between us, but having no understanding that it was abuse, having no concept in my mind that anything about Michael could ever be bad. Anything that Michael did was right.
Wow.
Yeah, and then here's James talking about it.
I did not testify out of thinking I was doing something good or knowing that what he did was bad. I was afraid of being caught. It was that old sort of wiring of, if you're caught, your life will be over.
And it's also like, you got to think about it, it's like their idol at the time. Right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think that's what they so successfully express there. Like, this is your idol.
Mm-hmm.
This is who you as a kid idolize, and there is no wrong they can possibly do.
Right. From a cultural societal perspective, this documentary has been so interesting in terms of seeing people who just can't accept the fact that Michael Jackson may not have been the person that they loved and that they put on a pedestal, the musician Michael Jackson. And the people who come and say, well, why did you testify earlier in trials? Well, one, they were just children when they were testifying. And like what Robson said, they didn't know what they were experiencing was abuse. They loved Michael. They thought that was how they expressed love, through the manipulation. And it's even like, dude, people saying that they're coming out too late. Who are we to tell anyone who experienced that trauma what the time frame is for them to process it and to own? Your life will change when you say, hey, I was one of those kids.
And an added thing to that, right? Although it's crazy, but their parents were okay, you know, at times to drop them off at Neverland.
And
you know what I'm saying? Which to me seems crazy.
Yeah.
I wasn't even allowed to spend the night in high school.
And even if,
you know what I'm saying?
Even if the allegations came out, the parents like were interviewed and they like, you know, they're saying like, oh, Michael would never do that. Like, of course not.
And then they idolize him too.
Exactly. And it was so bizarre. And I thought one thing that stood out to me a lot was when Wade said, he goes, yeah, when I was standing up for Michael and saying like, no, he didn't do this to me, I felt good knowing that I was standing up for him and I knew he would. Like, he would basically like honor that, and sure enough he did. He like invited him to his house that next week, and then like, and he was like, I felt so good that I was back with him again, and I was his number one again, kind of thing. So it was this sort of weird
reward.
Mental thing. Yeah.
It like reeked of like the side chick who wants to be number one again, right? So he was 14 years old, and when he testified, he was like, oh, I was so happy to be back with Michael. And then the same sex abuse happens, but he's 14 at this point, and then it was like way more when he's describing what happened the night that he was at the hotel with Michael, it became way more of a, oh, Michael knows is wrong and now I'm back off the roster.
And how hard would it have been for them once they are teenagers or older to admit, because it's like they also they liked it in a way because they didn't know, like they said, that it was sexual abuse. It was something they loved Michael. So admitting that as a guy or girl, but coming out and saying like, this is what I went through and I actually liked, you know, I loved him, I liked it, that would be such a difficult thing.
One of the questions that popped up in my mind, and by the way, and I bet a lot of people probably trying to watch this special documentary on Michael Jackson and his alleged abuse on kids, I only got through the first half of the first episode and I couldn't watch anymore because of the details that were being expressed, and now me being a parent of a daughter and then another daughter coming on its way, it was very difficult for me to hear these things. And moving forward in the next segment, we are going to reach out to our therapist, Heather, to talk about how you, as a parent or somebody that is around kids, can talk to your kids about, you know, sexual abuse and the importance of that and to try to protect them from that. And the other question that popped up is like, if Michael really did sleep with kids and have in the bed kids that weren't his, what happened to him in his childhood to think that that was okay? You feel me?
Yeah. I mean, you brought up an interesting point about you not being able to watch it more than, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And because you're a father, it really did. It's so crazy that it took Robson and Safechuck to be a grown man with sons of their own, looking at their children, visualizing, oh my God, I could never have this happen, to have like that red flag pop up. Like, oh my God, what I went through was not normal.
Right. Right. Coming up next, because of how difficult it is to discuss this, but why don't we use this as a platform to try to help our community, right? So we're going to be catching up with our show therapist, Heather, and give you advice on the proper way to educate your kids about sexual abuse and obviously avoiding being victim.
And this story moving forward, it's huge. Your kids are going to ask you questions.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Amp Radio.
Commercial free Monday.
We're about to tackle a very difficult conversation, but it's absolutely necessary to talk about this because it's trending. And if it's trending on social media, whether you want it to be real or not, your kids are probably talking about
it too. It's going to invade your life. Yeah, it's part of it.
And it's the documentary Leaving Neverland, which is highlighting how Michael Jackson allegedly sexually abused children. And we have our therapist, Heather, on the line. Thank you for being with us. Good morning, Heather.
Hi, good morning.
And we want to use this platform to not just try to discuss why did this happen or did it really happen or not. It's like, okay, look, this happens, period. Unfortunately, right? Child abuse. How can we as adults help prevent our children from suffering being sexually abused? And my question to you is, like, how do you educate? How do you have these conversations with your children? Because some parents, you know, anything in regards to sex is a taboo topic at home.
Well, it will hide behind, oh, it's awkward. It's weird.
Yeah. We even have nicknames for body parts as a little kid and so on and so forth, you know, Heather? So if you can share some light in that and we can learn from this.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the nicknames because that is actually one of the tips on talking to your kids about sexual abuse is not using nicknames, teaching them the correct autonomy names so that when or if someone attempts to abuse them and uses these nicknames that it stands out to them and it makes them feel this is not okay. We're also just always wanting to talk to them very directly. We're using age-appropriate language, but this starts very early on with the proper names of body parts and it, teaching them ownership of their body, not shaming them for asking questions or exploring their body parts. So I know that a lot of our excuse me, family members or our cultures don't talk about sex or don't talk about these issues, but that actually perpetuates the secrecy.
Wow.
You brought something up earlier when we were talking off the air that I found fascinating about ownership of your body. And, you know, when you have a child that's very uncomfortable at a young age, hugging, you know, newer family members or strangers or things that as adults we're like, oh, go give them a hug. And we think nothing of it. But basically, we're kind of like subconsciously kind of patterning them to be like, hey, you're uncomfortable with this adult in this situation. Now, I'm not saying it's always this extreme, but you should do it anyway.
Absolutely. So again, we're talking about this word autonomy or ownership and control over their bodies. And that starts as a newborn, right? So we want to talk to our kids. Usually we're asking permission. Can I do this? Would you like to give me a hug? Do you want to give that family member a hug? And unfortunately, our society makes us uncomfortable if a kid shies away from giving someone a hug or talking to a stranger. But like you said, we're teaching them to quiet their intuition and not listen to their own, you know, emotions and feelings. And we're taking away their sense of control.
That's interesting you say that, Heather, because that does happen at times. You're getting together with friends or family, right, and it's like a circle, right? And you roll up, and, you know, I have a two-year-old daughter, and she's super sweet. She'll blow kisses or give hugs, and there's one person she doesn't want to hug. So the whole group goes, she didn't want to hug you.
Generally, it's me when I have my mustache during November, and I'm like, I get it.
But that's so important.
And the parent gets embarrassed, and that's why they're forcing the kid to do something that the kid is genuinely feeling uncomfortable doing. And I think an important statistic is almost 90%, actually I think over 90% of sexual abuse is perpetrated by close friends or family members. And so we really do want to give kids the power and the independence to be in control of their bodies.
And speaking openly about these things makes them not, like you said, think it's a secret or a bad thing to talk about. If something were to happen to them, they could come back to you, full trust as a parent, to say, hey, this happened, and can speak openly with you on this because you don't make it weird for me to speak about this, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yes. So ongoing child abuse counts on secrecy and fear. You know, they're spewing all of these lies that the child believes. If we're not combating those messages with the truth that you can talk to me, we have a trusting relationship, open communication is okay. And then also not overreacting to everyday things. So we're creating this relationship with our child that they feel comfortable talking to us. They feel like we listen to them and that we give them time and space to talk.
Heather, last question. I know there's a lot of things that we could ask, but what age is it appropriate to start speaking to your kids about sexual abuse and their body parts and so on and so forth?
Yeah, perfect question. So we want to start at birth. We want to start even, you know, before the kid can talk, we are using language to give them the autonomy. So can I change your clothes, for example? And a child maybe can't give you permission at that point, but you're modeling that anything that has to do with their body is personal and they're in charge. And so we're starting with those conversations and then very early on using age-appropriate language, using the correct terminology for body parts, but then talking very directly. By the time the kid gets to elementary school, these are conversations we've had, so they're interacting with so many other people in the world, but they're already coming comfortable with talking about these things with you. And so you can, you know, increase the seriousness of the conversation age appropriately, right. But you're starting at the very beginning.
And as a former kindergarten teacher, you want to have those conversations before they get them on the playground, because right. I used to bring up conversations. Yes. I'm like, none of this is correct. Yeah. Stop talking to each other.
And on that point, just to wrap up, listen, your kids are talking about sexual things, whether they're learning them from friends at school.
Right.
Or other people, I'd rather it be you.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, as a parent. So, Heather, thank you for being with us and talking about such a uncomfortable topic, but it shouldn't be. And it's a very important topic to talk about.
Absolutely. I'll add in, if you're having trouble or you're uncomfortable yourself as a parent, there's so many books out there that you can either read with your child, or if they're an older age, give it to them and have them read it and then ask you questions when they're done. So those have been designed for people that are uncomfortable having those conversations.
Thank you, Heather. Where can our listeners reach out to you via social media if they have any further questions?
Yeah, my social media handle is Heather the Therapist. Very simple, Heather the Therapist.
Thank you, Heather, for being with us. We love you. Again, for those that don't know Heather's story, she legit, just like a few months ago, called in to give her perspective on a topic we were talking about. And then she's like, we're like, you're amazing, Heather. No. That makes so much sense. She's like, yeah, I'm a therapist. We're like, oh,
I feel smarter now.
So that's why we brought her on. So, Heather, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Love you guys.
97.1 AMP Radio.
Commercial free Monday.
Ariana Grande is getting her own drink, Chels. Are you excited about this, or are you kind of like meh about
it? Yeah, I'm interested. I don't know. I was thinking I'm going to go to, I think, get a Starbucks after the show, so I might go try it out. It's called the Cloud Macchiato.
Sorry,
I said that wrong. Cloud Macchiato.
Okay.
Yeah, don't blow it on that one. Don't order the macchiato. That's a whole different drink.
Basically true. It's a twist on the classic macchiato, but except for it utilizes the chain's airy cold foam.
Oh, wow.
So basically it's like a coffee drink, but like more than half of it is all foam. So it's also probably low in calories as well.
That sounds like they just marketed like when they do like a low calorie bag of chips. You open it and there's like 9 chips inside and it's 85% air.
I hate that, bro.
I've never gotten like one with foam on it before, but I guess it says they describe their foam as an airy microfoam, frothed cold and blended until smooth, creating layers of creamy texture and flavor without the cream. And this is something that's going to be added to their permanent item list, and it's going to be available in cinnamon and caramel. So get excited.
Definitely. I'm getting
there. Pumped. Can't
I really
wait.
Am.
If I were the Starbucks marketing department, I'd be so annoyed at the lack of effort Ariana put into the tweet she put up promoting it. It's just like, she did the thing where I can't stand, which people are like, when they run out of creative things to do, they just put like a bunny filter on their face.
Yeah.
And like, look at me. And she's just like doing a boomerang of like drinking the drink. And it's like, you put zero effort into any sort of like creative way to market your own drink. I'd be like, take it back.
Well, I think they just love the fact that, like, you know, her last name's Grande, and obviously Grande is their medium-sized drink. And, like, when she did that thing with James Corden, where she showed up to a Starbucks and was like, I'll take a Grande, whatever. I think that they, like, loved it. It was, like, the best press for them. So I'm sure they were, like, in their marketing meeting, we should give Ariana Grande a drink. Let's do it.
And she'll just take a basic boomerang for us, and we'll sell a million drinks with 90% foam.
Again, 147 million followers. We'll do that for you.
97.1 AMP Radio.
Commercial free Monday.
We got the Dopest Moment Award going out right now to 9-year-old Ava from Pico Rivera and her little brother, who's 4 years of age. His name is Aiden. He was actually sleeping during the phone call, but he was still in the car. We still got to give him some props, you know?
You didn't care about those tickets to Bear Mountain.
So we're playing as Ryan Smarter than a car full of kids right then and there. It's a kids trivia game, and Ava straight up roasted our homie Brian so bad. Check this out. Ava, why do you think you're going to beat Brian this morning?
Because all me and Aiden do is watch cartoons, and all he does is go on his phone.
Oh, man, when she went down that road, all he does is, I'm like, ooh, this could get bad quick.
Ava, what's Aiden doing right now?
He's asleep.
What?
That's not very good moral support.
Wake up, buddy!
He's asleep because he doesn't want to listen to Brian's bad answers.
Oh! Face, well,
you don't still have to keep roasting me. This girl's got no off switch, man.
She's going strong. Pico Rivera representing right there. Jesse Ortiz coming up next, taking over your radio. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't allow anyone or anything to steal your joy. Love you guys.
97.1
AMP. AMP Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.